This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and I'm speaking with Sir Robin Knox Johnson about the Clipper Round the World race.
We've now done 12 races. Currently, of course, because of COVID, we're stuck in Philippines. We've got the whole fleet laid up at the moment, just waiting till we can stop the postponement. But we've had 5,000 people do the Clipper race, and all those people come out of it more confident, more assured, better sailors, because they've done something. And you, as I said to you earlier, you watch them at the end. They're proud, and so they damn well should be. They've done something special. And every leg of the race has got its own challenges. You know, you're either crossing the Southern Ocean or the North Pacific, which is tough. You might be sailing from Seattle down to Panama. It goes very calm at the end. As I always say to everyone, any fool can sail a boat when there's plenty of wind. The skill is when you can sail a boat when there isn't much wind. You're going to learn some stuff. And we've had 5,000 people do our race, and we've got people booking up for our next race right now. You know, what we're giving is ordinary people a chance to do something extraordinary in their lives. And I have to tell you, 99% turn around and say, that was the best thing I've done in my life. And then I turn around to them and say, I want you to say, so far, because I think I've opened your horizon. And now you're going to do something better, and good luck to you.
Sir Robin, you just went sailing recently. Tell us about your trip along the coast of Scotland.
Well, once we were allowed to go back to our boats and leave our houses, I started working on my boats, and I've got two. I've got Suhaili, which I still own, the boat I took around the world. And if you give me 30 minutes notice, I can take her to sea, because I like to keep her in commission. And she's very dear to me, very much a part of my life. And I've got my other boat, which is 56 foot foul, 56. And she's, of course, a lot faster and much more comfortable. And I thought, well, we got some gap. So I contacted a lot of my friends and said, listen, I'm thinking of going up to the west coast of Scotland. Do you want to come? And, you know, about 8 of us on board at any one time. So we took off at the beginning of July, and we sailed up Scotland, and we toured the west coast of the island of Mull. Now, that's where Fingal's Cave is. You know, the music, remember that? We're going to see where the first Christians arrived in Scotland. We're just dropping around, and we're going into little anchorages in lochs. 40 years ago, no other boat was in there. Now there's 5 or 6 boats. And you're just anchoring, spending the night there, and the sun going down on the hills in Scotland. And it's absolutely, it's very hard to describe. It's just so beautiful. And we just sit in the cockpit having a drink and just looking at the sun going down and saying, we're not going to change this for anything.
All right, thank you so much, and welcome back to Titillating Sports. Your humble host, Rick Tittle. That would be me. It is Tuesday. We always check in with SalesportTalk.com, and my co-host for the segment is Karen Lyle, and she and Christopher Kane did an interview which was pre-recorded, and we'll get to that in just a second. But Karen joining us from her house, not probably too far where I am as well, at my house. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing just great, Rick, and I won't be at my house for long because I'm going sailing as soon as the show's over.
Well, lucky you. That sounds nice. Did you see in the San Francisco Chronicle the story about the young woman who left the Golden Gate at midnight in a rowboat trying to row to Hawaii to train to row from Japan to California, which has never been done all the way, and she spent 86 days alone at sea and had some horrific perils, but was able to make it. Did you see that article?
Well, actually, I know her, and we will have her on the show sometime soon, so we'll have a chance to talk to her. That'll be fun.
That's great. Yeah. What's her name again? I already forgot.
Well, I will introduce that when we come back.
Okay, that's a good way of saying you don't know. Okay. Tell us about this interview we have coming up, Karen.
So, Race Week is a tradition for the last 12 years for the New York Yacht Club presented by Rolex, and it was postponed a couple times because of the pandemic, but they just had it recently, and they had 5 days of races. They just kind of put everything together, and we just took one of those racers who won the IC 37 division, who happens to be the Commodore of the New York Yacht Club. And I asked Christopher to come in and we interviewed him. And so the little segment that we're going to share today with you is that interview.
One more question before we go to that interview. When you sail, do you ever go out to San Pablo Bay and go through the East and West Brother Islands up there in Richmond?
Oh, I do, actually. I love that. And going up to the Carquinez Strait, you know, after that. But you go through past the brothers and the sisters, and there's that beautiful little little lighthouse that has a, you know, on one of the islands there. We sail right by that.
That's actually an Airbnb, believe it or not.
Yes, I know. I don't know if I could sleep with that foghorn going off every night.
It's a B&B. I said Airbnb. It's a B&B.
That's right.
Yes?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Let's go to that interview. This is Karen Lyle and Christopher Kane.
This is Karen Lyle with Sailsport Talk, and I'm here with Christopher Kane, and we are talking to Commodore Christopher Culver. Christopher Culver, thank you so much for coming on the show. You just recently won Race Week, and we would love to have you tell us about this race and the class that you're in and about your boat.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Karen. Thanks, Christopher. The New York Yacht Club, you know, we, as you know, in this extraordinary year, we worked so hard to try to reschedule and postpone and take calendar the last two or three events of the season that we rescheduled actually from June and July to push them back to the end of the season so we'd have the best opportunity to get back on the water and start racing. And it was absolutely fantastic. You know, I'll tell you, if you think about all the sailors in this country and other places throughout the world, we love to be on the water. We love to race. And in this year when we couldn't hold social gatherings and celebrations on shore, it was really heartfelt to see the sailors on the water celebrating the return to racing in such competitive classes. And it was absolutely spectacular. We had great weather conditions. We had everything that you could imagine from shifty, you know, westerlies up the bay to some pretty strong breeze offshore in Newport. In particular, I raced the New York Yacht Club IC-37s, which is a new class that we created, one design class. And the club, as you probably know, we purchased 20 of these. We built 20 of these purpose-built boats to extend our New York Yacht Club Invitational Cup presented by Rolex. And and it's been tremendous. I mean, we have such a competitive class, great sailing. The boats are all equal. They're all level. And so it really comes down to what we do on a daily basis on the race course and how well the teams pull together. And even though we haven't had a lot of practice time this year, the sailing was close sailing at its one design best.
I have to ask a question, Commodore, because I, of course, looked up the results. And you had to encounter something in the last race that we're quite used to racing in out here in San Francisco during our winter series. But you woke up on the morning of the last race and there was fog. Tell me what that was like.
Well, you know, it's something that we're used to up here in Newport as well. You know, we have fog throughout the summer in different stages. It's something that you know we never look forward to, but boy, I'll tell you, we hit the race course and you know we sailed in the fog, we raced in the fog, and it was a great race. Our team did a spectacular job in finding the ley lines, getting on the ley lines, and finding the marks. But as you know, with your experience out there, sailing the fog just adds that extra layer of challenge. And it was, you know, it finally opened up for us a little bit, but not much. So it's exciting racing in the fog, especially when, you know, you see all the the other boats, all the other yachts that are out there.
I just had fog when I was out sailing a couple of days ago, and it was just right on the water. You couldn't see more than 500 feet ahead. Describe the fog and how you handled it. I mean, do you get to use your instruments in this race, or do you have to do this with the horn on the bow and someone out there looking, and how do you handle that?
Well, first of all, so for the IC-37 class, it's a little return to some old school sailing in a fast, modern, competitive race boat. We don't have wind instruments, so what we do have the ability to use a plotter down below that's installed in every boat. It's important that we keep this fleet level, so everybody had the same equipment, and we'd have to send somebody down to see if they could find the mark, and luckily the team did a spectacular job in getting around the course and called terrific ley lines. We were very fortunate in that regard.
Did you find it changing your on-course tactics or how you set up for the start, knowing that there's a little less visibility and maybe less time to react?
Well, you know, in the conditions that we had, it's, of course, you in a one-design fleet like this, you worry about somebody going out to the corners and not being able to see them in these conditions is kind of interesting. So we tried to stay in contact the best we could with as many boats as we could, tried to find the make sure that we were on the right side of the shifts. And certainly at the start, our technician this week for race week did a spectacular job on the starts. And when we found ourselves on the right side of the course, we really performed well.
When you're in the back of a fleet, doing a race like this, and you'll sometimes take a flyer and try and break contact with the boats up front to hopefully catch a shift they don't or a tide line here in San Francisco. Did you see people at the back of the fleet trying for flyers, or was everyone really trying to stay in touch with the fleet?
You know, it's amazing. You would think that in this fleet, you absolutely see this fleet split up at times, even though, the tried and tested says to cover and stay with the fleet. But inevitably, people see the shifts different. They see the breeze different on the race course. And based on what they could or couldn't see in the fog, that certainly changed their strategy on the race course. But overall, in this fleet, you absolutely will see boats on both sides of the race course. And typically, you don't want to try up the middle. Although, I have during race week, on the first day, we did have a boat that made out like a bandit going up the middle and caught a tremendous lift. So you never know. It's sailboat racing. It's fun. It's aggressive. It's, aggressive lines and start lines and tremendous camaraderie in this fleet. I think everybody was so excited to be out racing again. We celebrated that victory in a big way.
That's wonderful. I know a lot of yacht clubs, when they build out their home fleet like this, they often use them not just for the competitive sailing, but to reach town and kind of bring up youth sailors and younger members of the club. Are you looking to do that with the IC-37s as well?
We are. So there's two parts to this. On one hand, we purchased a fleet of 20 boats, and we are strongly encouraging the young members to get involved. My boat in particular, I think we're on the younger side of the membership fleet. We came out of the Swan 42 class, which we had purpose built for the Invitational Cup as well. They ran had a good run. We lasted about 12 years on that boat, and this boat in particular is it's a little more rocked up, and so we're strongly encouraging the young members to get on this boat. We have rules that accommodate a younger member of 16 years and younger as free weight on board in some of the regattas throughout the year. And then as we look forward, the IC-37 fleet, we built 20. There's a total of 35 currently in the market. And with the plans we have next year to expand both our sales efforts on the IC-37 internationally and throughout the United States, I think it bodes well for a really tremendous opportunity in this fleet to grow it and create other one design fleets around the country.
I think that's great.
This is Karen Lyle, and you're listening to Salesport Talk, and I'm co-hosting with Christopher Kane inside Rick Tittle's syndicated show and speaking with the New York Yacht Club Commodore Christopher Culver. Christopher, what was the moment that you really enjoyed the most on this race? For you, is it when you began? Is it when you're going in a particular passage or the wind's behind you and you're surfing on the waves? What is your best moment?
There's nothing better than a start line with 12 to 20 boats and one design boats on the line. You know, that is such a competitive line. And you're gonna work the pin, and you're gonna choose the boat. What's the breeze look like up the course? So the start is certainly that moment that sets up the beginning, and in many cases, puts you in a position to win or not. But when these boats are fun, you get out in 15 to 20 knots of breeze, and you're surfing and you're planing. This class is a lot of fun. It handles the different conditions, the varied conditions, so well. You know, whether we were in light breeze in the fog or heavy breeze with or without it, this fleet is a lot of fun to sail. We pride ourselves in working in all conditions. You know, we've got sails are limited to three sails on the boat. And that means you have to adjust. You can't shift from typically your three different jibs in other classes and other race boats. And this boat, you have to adjust to the conditions. And I think it's great for sailing. It's great for the sport, good for the competitors. I've never seen a fleet that has so much camaraderie as the IC-37 fleet.
Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your enthusiasm and passion for sailing. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk.